All right. Pesach, some halachas of Erev Shabbos. Yom Diyoma, as we call it. I think I ran out of mitzvot saseh at this point because Havdalah doesn't excite me and Halachas Neiros doesn't excite me. So we'll probably have to move on to Lo Saseh next week. My brother wanted me to do Uvda Dechol, but I feel like that takes a lot of work to do Uvda Dechol. I feel like it's a very broad topic, but we'll see. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Nun, Sif Aleph says, Yashkin Baboker, Yom Shishi, Lahachin Tzorchei Shabbos. You should wake up early in order to do the Tzorchim, to prepare the Tzorchim for Shabbos. So Afilu Yeshlo Kama Avadim L'Shamsho, even if you have many servants who can serve you, Yishtadel Lahachin Ba'atzmu, Shum Davar L'Tzorchei Shabbos Kedei L'Chavdel. You should still try your best to do something yourself in order to honor the Shabbos. Ki Rav Chista, Hay Mechatek Hayarek Dak Dak. Rav Chista used to cut up the vegetables finely. Rav Yosef Hay Mevakin Eitzim, they used to chop up the wood. Rav Yisrael Hay Ma'alaka Eish, he used to light the fire. Rav Nachan Hay Masakin Abayis, set up the house. Machnas Kela Matzrichim L'Shabbos, bring in the utensils needed. Mefana Klei Achol, remove the weekday utensils. Umehem Yomo Kol Adam, so from them we should all learn. V'lo Yomar Lo Efkon Kvodi, and don't say, oh, I'm not going to be poking my kavod. Kizeu kvodo. This is your kavod shemachabed Shabbos, to honor the Shabbos. So we see the Shulchan Aruch, based off the Rambam, based off the Gemara, says that everyone needs to do something in order to prepare for Shabbos. Because if these great Amoraim were preparing for Shabbos, so kavod chomer, we should be doing it. So why is this the case? So the Magen Avraham says it's just like every other mitzvah, which we say mitzvah bo yosar bishlucho. The Gemara brings this as the source. The Gemara in Kiddushin, when discussing mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho by Kiddushin, brings the source for mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho from this concept of kavod Shabbos. And we see that the tour and the mechaber, they use the language of yishtadel. Yishtadel lahachem ba'atzmo shum davar l'tzarche Shabbos kedei l'chavdo. So from the language of yishtadel, though, it sounds like it's not a tremendous chiyuv, which fits with the Magen Avraham saying that it's only mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho. Mitzvah Yosef B'Shlucho we usually view as a hiddur. It's a way to be mahadir the mitzvah. So if that's what it is, so then it makes sense that you use the language of Yishtadel. But if you look at the Rambam, which you can't, it's not in front of you, but the Rambam in Perek Lamed, Halacha Vav, uses the language of Chayav. He has the same, it's basically the same Lashon as the Shulchan Aruch, Shezehu Kvodo, that everyone has to do it, but he uses the language of Chayav. So it sounds like it's a little bit more than Yishtadel. It's not just that you should try doing it, but it's more than that. So when we have this language of the Rambam, who says that you're actually chayv, so the Ber Halacha discusses this language. The Ber Halacha, where it is in here, in Yashkin, Yishtadel. Yeah, the Rambam, the Ber Halacha on the next page, on the second page of Siman Reish Nun, the Maskel Yishtadel says the Rambam Isa al din zeh b'lashon chayav. Rambam has the language of chayav. Skip the brackets. V'hakavana al eza davar min advarim. V'ayim mikidushin dekamar sham mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho. V'efshar da ha Rambam gam kein lav chov gamaru. It could be even for the Rambam. It's not a clear, complete chayav. Ela ke'ein chova mishum kavod Shabbos. It's like a chova. It's like an obligation. Why di lav hachi? Because if you don't say it like this, it was just a hit or mitzvah. It's just a yishtadel. So then, how could the Amoraim stop learning in order to do this? It's not a complete chiyuv. Because we don't find this language of chova anywhere by this halacha in the Gemara. So it seems like there's three options. It could be a chova gamur, which is what it sounds like from the language of the Rambam. It could be just a hiddur mitzvah, or it could be kein chiyuv, which is what the Ber Halacha wants to say for the Rambam. Not sure what the nafka mina would be to say it's a kein chiyuv, besides for the fact that they stopped learning in order to do it, but it's definitely more than saying it's just a regular hiddur mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan also says it's a hiddur mitzvah, not a chiyuv gamur, but the Shaar HaTzion, when quoting this, points out the Shulchan Aruch HaRav thinks that it's more, because the Shulchan Aruch HaRav seems to go like the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav said that it's more than that from the fact that the Amoraim decided to stop learning in order to do it, so it really would seem to be more. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky points out that the language of Yishtadel is not to exclude Chiyuv Gomer. He just says that this is the gather of the mitzvah. The gather of the mitzvah is to do it yourself. Meaning the Yishtadel, the Hishtadlus involved, like it's like the Tircha involved in the mitzvah, is part of the mitzvah. So the reason the language of Yishtadel is used is not because in order to exclude Chiyuv Gomer, it's just in order to define the mitzvah for us. The Levush says, even if you have to learn less because of it, then you're able to do it. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, says that you could let your wife do everything. Why can your wife do everything? Because we have a rule of Ishto Kagufo, so therefore it's like you're doing it. Most poskim disagree with that, but that's what the language of the Aruch HaShulchan is. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, for someone who is learning Torah, then they only have to do one thing. But if they're not learning, so then they would really have to do everything. So we have a wide variety of approaches when it comes to this mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos. Is it a chiyuv gamor? Is it a kein chiyuv? Is it just a hiddur mitzvah? What am I able to do instead of that? If I have choices, if I can be preparing for Shabbos or I should be learning, what should I do? So you can't say that learning is going to override it completely, because we already see that the Amoraim were mevatel their Torah to do it. So it must be that Torah isn't going to beat it entirely. But the nafkamina could be, how much do you have to do in order to prepare for Shabbos? The language of the Gemara, and then the Shulchan Aruch, is that everyone, even if you have servants, so you should make sure to do something. So that's all you have to do, is make sure to do something. So you, each person should have a thing that they do, if they have learning to do, or something else that they need to be doing. But if you have nothing else to be doing, and you're just going to be sitting around instead, or you're going to be relaxing instead, so it would probably behoove you to do more preparations instead. So it's not a clear-cut mitzvah, exactly what's included in this mitzvah, but everyone should try and do something. I always find the language of Yishtadel fascinating, because we discussed this in earlier Shirim, it's just a coincidence, both by Shnai Mikra and by Malava Malka, we saw the language of La'olam. It doesn't say it's a chiyuv to do Shnai Mikra. It doesn't say it's a chiyuv to have Malav Malka. It says La'olam, a person should set their table after Shabbos. And La'olam, you should be Mashlim Parshiyosa V'matzibur. And we pointed out that this seems to be a bit of a vague language. So we have the same thing over here. Because where else do we find the language of Yishtadel in Shulchan Aruch? There's two other places. There could be more. I didn't do a complete search. But there's two other places that the language of Yishtadel comes up. One of them is later on in the halachos of Erev Shabbos, by wearing nicer clothing. It says you should yishtadel to wear nicer clothing. Does that mean it's a chiyuv? I don't know. And the other time, which is more fascinating, is by Tefillah B'Tzibur. It says that the Machaber says a person should yishtadel to always go to shul to daven B'Tzibur. So this is important for us because it makes a big nafkamina in terms of how much of a chiyuv is it when facing other things. If I'm faced with Tefillah B'Tzibur and something else, so what's going to win? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he explains that no, tefillah b'tzibur is a serious thing. It's a chovah gamur, and you shouldn't pass it up. I think I once read a tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss where he downplayed a little bit more. He quotes Rav Moshe, but he downplays it a little bit more, dafka because of this language of yishtadel. You know, you have these great Hasidic Rebbeim and possibly Lipish Rebbeim also that will daven v'yichidus in a time when they feel that that's going to allow them to be more connected to their tefillah, because that overrides tefillah b'tzibur potentially. So if it was a chiyuv gamur, so we would never say that. So it's the same thing with this language of yishtadel. Once it's not going to be a chiyuv gamur, so you have to figure out what level does that make it when other obligations exist, as we find the same thing by wearing nicer clothing and tefillah b'tzibur. So another instance where this comes up is these two things facing each other. What about if you have to prepare for Shabbos and tefillah b'tzibur? So they're both yishtadel things. So which one is more important? Can I, if I know that if I come to this minyan, then I'm not going to be able to get the stuff that I need for Shabbos. It's all going to be sold out in the stores. So then when we say that, you could go to the stores and miss minyan instead in order to fulfill this mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham says that tefillah b'tzibur does beat out hachana for Shabbos. And you would come to the minyan. You would come to the minyan even if it means that you won't be able to fulfill this mitzvah of Kabbalat Shabbos by doing your preparation for Shabbos.
That's even if you don't
understand. Obviously, yeah, I'm saying obviously it assumes that someone else is going to do the preparation for Shabbos, right? It just means that you yourself don't have this individual chiyuv to do something if you're going to be davening b'tzibur instead. The Bar Halacha quotes this Magen Avraham
see if I can find it quickly. Wrong Mishnah Berurah. The Be'er Halacha quotes his Magen Avraham in a really long Be'er Halacha, and he disagrees.
It's probably two thirds of the way down in the Be'er Halacha.
It's right next to these lines. Yeah. Oh, it's bolded in yours. V'gam.
In this, towards the end of the skinny lines, it says V'gam ma'asha kasa b'seder hayom dima tzibur mispalin lo yifresh min atzibur. That which it says in Seder Hayom that if the tzibur is mispalin, so you shouldn't leave the tzibur in order to fulfill this mitzvah. Pliyahi. Even if you want to say that tefillah b'tzibur is a chiyuv, it's still only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So how could that be hachana for Shabbos, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa? V'gamim neima durak asmachta. Even if you say that hachana for Shabbos is not d'oraisa, it's only d'rabbanan. Gam keinir demutav lispado acher kach b'yichidi meisha yispado b'tzibur v'lo yimta acher kach malitnos l'tzarchei Shabbos. It would seem like it would make more sense to daven b'yichidus afterwards, after buying what you need for Shabbos, instead of davening b'tzibur and not being able to purchase the things that you need. So the Be'er Halacha disagrees. Obviously, the answer to the Be'er Halacha would be, well, if you're able to have something, so then you wouldn't run into that problem. So it could be, it depends on, again, how strong is tefillah b'tzibur. When we're faced with the potential to daven b'tzibur versus something else, you know, how do we weigh those two things? So if you say that tefillah b'tzibur is a very strong thing, so then maybe it would even override buying anything for Shabbos, the hachana for Shabbos. Maybe it would be. But if you don't see tefillah b'tzibur as strong, or you have some tzorchei Shabbos, so you really have to weigh it in each situation, what is going to win out based on how important each thing is. And that's, you know, a lot of times we have that in halacha, where you're trying to weigh different values and trying to figure out what's going to win in each situation. So we'd probably say, it would seem like we don't find ourselves in this situation too much, because even though the stores here do run out of food sometimes, it's probably not going to be so early on in the morning that they'll run out, and you'd be able to daven b'tzibur and get that which you need. But it's still important for us to realize that when we have these competing factors in halacha, we really have to figure out what's more important and what takes precedence. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky points out that even if you're a guest by someone else, you still have to do something. So you could clean the room that you're staying in, or maybe bring something for Shabbos that they're going to have. It would seem to apply even to guys in yeshiva, that you would have to do something in order to fulfill this mitzvah, because this mitzvah applies to everyone. Because it's not just about making sure that that you have all your needs for Shabbos, it's that you yourself have to do something, and there's some type of chiyuv. So that's all in terms of the preparations for Shabbos. There's different levels of how much of a chiyuv it is, and when we face competing factors. There's another interesting mitzvah when it comes to Erev Shabbos. The Machzor Vitri is the earliest to quote it. It's an interesting language where he says, Toame Achaim Zachu, Tana. Tana implies that there's a Braisa or Mishnah somewhere, but the Svarim that I saw this in point out that they didn't find it anywhere, but maybe the Machzor Vitri had an earlier version of something. Kol HaToim Tavshilo B'Erev Shabbos Ma'arichen Lo Yom HaVushnosav. If you taste the food on Erev Shabbos, so then you are going to have a longer life. Why would this be the case? So why is it that you would have to taste anything at all? So the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Nun Beis says at the bottom, right before Shaar Tzion Zion, I don't know where it is in yours, right before Shaar Tzion Zion, the Mishnah Berurah says, Mitzvah litom mikol tavshil be'erev Shabbos kedei lasaknan yafa kahogen. Why is it a mitzvah to taste the food on Erev Shabbos? In order that you'd be able to make sure that it tastes good. It's a mitzvah to have good food on Shabbos. So you taste the food before Shabbos in order to make sure that it tastes good. V'ayim b'sefer Shulchan Shlomo. The Sefer Shulchan Shlomo says, "Dehatima b'Shabbos mikol min bevadahi mitzvah." The remez alzeh tomei achaim zachu. It's a mitzvah to taste from each food, and we have a remez to this from the language of tomei achaim zachu. We say in Musaf, tomei achaim zachu hints to the fact that if you taste the food, you're going to get long life. So he says, "I'm the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo that the teima b'Shabbos mikol min bevadahi mitzvah." So The language of the Mishnah Berurah is that you should taste the food kedei l'saknan yafa kahogen. It sounds like from the Shulchan Shlomo that it's a mitzvah. And in the Shaar Tzion, in Ches, he says, u'b'shulchan Shlomo mashma de'etzem ha'te'imah hi mitzvah. The tasting itself is a mitzvah. It's not that it's in order that the food be able to taste good, which is what many achronim say. Rather, it's in order to, it's a mitzvah be'etzem. Why would it be a mitzvah be'etzem? So, some say it's to show chavivas to the food, the more Kabbalistic svarim, the Shaar Kavanos. I didn't open it up to see it inside, but I saw a quoted that the Shaar Kavanos says that it's a mitzvah be'etzem. It's not just in order to make sure that it tastes good, but there's a mitzvah be'etzem to taste this food on Arab Shabbos, again, to show the chavivas that you have for these food. So what would potential nafkaminas be between if you say that it's in order that you make sure that the food tastes good versus if it's a mitzvah unto itself? So one possible nafkamina would be, does it need a bracha? Because if it's a mitzvah unto itself, so it's a mitzvah sachila, so obviously it's going to need a bracha. It's just like eating any other food. But if it's just in order to taste it, so it's a big discussion whether you have to make a bracha when you taste food, just in order to taste it. And it's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, whether when the Gemara says, matemes eina tzricha bracha. If you're tasting food, it does not require a bracha. And it's machlokas Rashi and Tosos, whether that's food that you taste and then you spit it out, or it's food that you taste and then you're even swallowing it. It's just less than a kazayas. Also, it's not convenient for a fast day. We should be able to eat less than a kazayas of food on a fast day. But for our purposes, just in terms of the bracha, since it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosos, the Mishnah Berurah says that what you should do is that you should have in mind, when you're tasting it, that you really want to eat it also. I once had an issue with this. Oh, right, it was in terms of eating before davening, because I was making noodles for my kids before davening. Why was I doing that? I don't remember. And I wanted to taste it to see if it was done or not, if it was soft enough or not. And then I was going to taste it, and then I was wondering, well, then should I make a bracha on it? But I'm not supposed to be eating for davening anyway. It's like, well, I'll just taste it and spit it out, but I don't want to waste it. I don't remember what I did. It was a bunch of years ago. But either way, you know, these were the cheshbonos that were coming up. And what you're supposed to do when you're tasting food for the purpose of seeing if it tastes good, you should still have in mind that you're planning on eating it. But if you don't do that, so then in terms of that reason, you might run into an issue of whether you should be making a bracha or not when you're just tasting the food to see if it tastes good. So if it's a mitzvah be'etzem, then you would make a bracha on it. If you're just tasting it, then it's not so clear that you would. Another nafkamina is, does everyone need to do it? If it's just to taste it to make sure that it tastes good, so then it would be enough for one person to taste it. Your wife could taste it, you could taste it, doesn't really matter. Someone has to taste it to make sure that it tastes good. But if it's a mitzvah be'etzem, so then it would seem that everyone should really be doing it in order to fulfill this mitzvah. The Chut Shani, Ravinson Karel, it says that this makes sense. And if you say it's a mitzvah be'etzem, then you really should have to have, every person should have to taste something. And he said he's never heard this. But he says that one time, Rabbi Zion Yadler, who I didn't know who that was, but he has a Wikipedia page about him. He's an old Yerushalmi Magid. So he was once by Ravinson Karel, it's his father, and he was machmed to do that, to taste the food on Erev Shabbos, because he said there's a mitzvah be'etzem to taste it. So, some people do this just because they're hungry and they want to taste the food or they know the food's going to be good, but it would definitely seem that, according to some, you know, there would be a reason to try and taste at least one of the foods Erev Shabbos to fulfill this mitzvah of Temeh Chaim Zachu. As I always like to say, with these mitzvahs which you get long life for, like, it can't hurt. You know, you won't know if that's what got you long life in the end anyway, but can't hurt to try anything that you can if there's no downside to it. So you might as well taste some of the food. It does come up during the 9 days. Are you allowed to do it? So I don't know. I remembered hearing that in the discussion of the 9 days. I can't imagine. I know they say that by leftovers it might be okay, but I can't imagine anyone says that this mitzvah of Tomei Achaim Zachu would actually override the minhag of the 9 days of not eating. But it could be, it would, if you really hold it such a strong chiyuv gamur. Although you'd have to hold it's a strong chiyuv gamur, and it's a chiyuv on everyone, and it's every food, because if you could taste one of the other foods that you're going to be having that's not me, then it would seem to be okay as well. So that's another interesting mitzvah related to Erev Shabbos, trying to taste some of the food and understanding why we would do that. Another Erev Shabbos.
People like a lot of people have, like, the grandparents who make them like potato kugel Erev Shabbos. This probably stems from this, right?
I guess so.
I guess it became a life on its own. I mean, now people have, like, cholent. They have like their own independent meals, which are not necessarily like a part of the Shabbos meal.
Correct.
So it's kind of gone too far.
Yeah, that I think I saw someone. Oh no, that was I saw someone talking about doing Tomei Chaim. They call it Tomei Chaim Zachu in the mikveh. Them giving out food in the mikveh to fulfill this. So he said, there's no Indian for it at all. It doesn't make any sense. The whole point is you'd be tasting the Shabbos food, and you're not. You're just having Arab Shabbos food. So for sure, if that's what it's become, then it's just another one of those things that happens. So another issue that comes up is going to the mikveh on Arab Shabbos. So the Chayyadam is very strong language that it's a mitzvah to be tovel on Arab Shabbos. Very strong language. The Yisod V'Shorash HaAvoda says that it's Moil L'Kabel Neshama Yisera. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says Yitbol Atzma B'Mikvah. The Aruch HaShulchan says Ashrei Chelkom, because you are Mamshech Aleim the Shefa Kedusha from Shabbos Kodesh. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch here, you won't find it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it down, and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it down either over here. The Mishnah Berurah, when discussing the Chiyuv to Birochets Bachamin and the like on Arab Shabbos, so he doesn't bring down any issues of being Tovel. So it's unclear why. The Mishnah Berurah does discuss it as it relates to the 9 days, whether you'd be allowed to go to the, if you always go to the mikveh every Arab Shabbos, would you be allowed to go to the mikveh during the 9 days? But he doesn't bring it down over here. And the Achronim that I saw at least left it as unclear why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it down. Rav Neventhal, when discussing it, says that it's not a chiyuv, and it's not even a minhag amechayev, it's just a minhag tov. So it's a good thing to do. So if you have anything else that you need to be doing, so then it's probably better to be doing those other things. But it's a nice thing to do because you get a lot of these things of Shefa Tov and the Kedusha of Shabbos. Obviously, by the Hasidim, it's much more chomer by them. But for the Litvish crowd, it's not as chomer, but there's definitely a huge difference between Eretz Yisrael and America. I don't know why that's the case, but if you look at the Eretz Yisrael Gedolim, for sure, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Yashiv, they all went to the mikvah on Arab Shabbos. And even here, it's much more common by the Litvish here to go to the mikvah on Arab Shabbos than it is in America. I don't know why that would be the case, but I definitely think that that's factually true. And it definitely seems from a lot of the poskim that it's something that one should try and do, to go to the mikvah on Arab Shabbos. They discuss the process. Should you be showering first? Is it a problem to shower afterwards? Because a woman is not supposed to shower immediately after going to the mikveh, so does that mean that men shouldn't shower immediately going to the mikveh? I saw a couple of poskim that brought that down, that said that you should wait until you get home in order to wash off, but I'm not sure that it's, the gzeir was clearly only made. The gzeir was made at the time, so I'm not sure that it would extend, but some people bring that this is something that we should be aware of. Another issue in Arab Shabbos is in Reish Samach Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yisadar Shulchano, the Atziah Hamitos, Yisachin Kolin Yanei Habayis. So you should set the table, and you should make the beds, and have everything ready in the house. Kedeshim Se'eno Aruch Umesudar Bavomi Beis HaKnesses. So you should come home from Shul already with everything made. The Mishnah Berurah in Beis says, Hamitos Sheyoshvin Aleihen, the beds that you sit on. And it's nice for the bed to be made that you sleep in also. So clearly, what the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out when he says Sheyosh ben Aleihen is that when the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara use this language of Yatziah Hamitos, it doesn't really mean our beds. It's talking about in their times, that's what they used to sit on when they would eat. They would sit on something more similar to beds. Like it could have said Yisadar Shulchano v'Yatziah HaKisaos. That would make a lot more sense. Shulchanos goes together with chairs. It doesn't go together with beds. But what it means, says Mishnah Berurah, is that they used to sit on beds when they would be next to their tables. So for us, it would really mean to have the chair set. And he says, V'tov shiyeh mutzas gam amita shiyashen ala. It's nice to also have the bed that you're sleeping on to be made. So then the question is, would that apply to Shulchano also? Let's say you have a lot of tables in the house. Does that mean that you should be makbid, that all the tables in your house should be covered, or is it just the one that you are planning on eating at? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Lachein yizar ma'od l'sader shulchano, v'aneres yudokos, v'amitos yumutzos, muchanos liyeshiva." The beds should be ready for sitting on. "V'etzleinu hakisos muchanos liyeshiva." By us, it means that the chair should be ready. Umikom makom gama mitos shebachadarim yotzu bechvod ka'ilu ki'ilu balo orech nichbad. Just like if you had a guest, you would have the beds made, everything in the house would be ready. So then, so too here, you should make sure that everything is ready. And he continues, kol ha'shulchan shebabayis yu mutzayim b'mapos. All the tables should be covered by tablecloths. V'mapos yo shulchanos kol ha'layla v'chol ha'yom ha'motzai Shabbos. You should make sure that the table is covered with the tablecloth all of Shabbos. The chosh v'nzeh l'bizayon gadol l'shabbos k'sha shulchan magula. It's a tremendous bizayon to have your table uncovered. V'amar shal hiniach ala shulchan she'achal shtei mapos. Why would he put two tablecloths on his table? Any guesses? Any guesses? Because you're going to have to take the tablecloth off to shake it out. So, and the whole point is, you can't have the tablecloth ever uncovered. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's a minhag in all of Klal Yisrael that we make sure that the table is always covered. So, I don't know. We do that in my house, but I don't think we do it, you know, for this reason. We do it for more practical reasons, because we don't want the table to get dirty, and we have little kids, and they're going to get the table dirty. But I've been many places where the table wasn't covered all of Shabbos, but it appears that this is something, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan takes, says it's very strongly. He quotes the Arizal, who's medamet the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, and different things like that. So it's important that we try and do this whenever possible, to make sure that our table is completely covered all of Shabbos.
Is that where a lot of shuls extend the idea of covering?
Yeah, that's where it's, yes. And therefore, we do it, and it's brought down that that's why there are shuls that cover it, the tables for Shabbos as well. We do that here. Great. In order to, because as an extension of that, all the shulchanos everywhere should be covered. The next, in Siv Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtadol shiyu lo begadim naim l'Shabbos. You should have nice clothing for Shabbos. So what does it mean to have nice clothing for Shabbos? So does that mean that you have to have your shirt pressed every Erev Shabbos? So the Poskim say no. As long as it's clean, you can wear it again. You don't have to send your clothes, your suit to the dry cleaning every Shabbos, every Motzei Shabbos, to have it ready for the next Shabbos. As long as it's clean, you can wear it. It just means that you should have special clothes for Shabbos, clothes that you don't wear during the week. And this doesn't just mean that the clothes that you wore during the week you shouldn't wear on Shabbos, but it means the clothes that you wore on Shabbos, you dafka shouldn't wear during the week. You're supposed to have special clothes, special for Shabbos. This could be an issue if you wear white shirts every day, but then you just have to have special white shirts for Shabbos. It's like, you know, people wear suits every day. They're supposed to have suits that are set aside for Shabbos. I think Rav Schechter says he has 5 different suits. See if I can get it. Weekday suits, Shabbos suits, Yom Tov suit, wedding suit. Maybe the Yom Noraim. I don't know. Maybe Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed is a different level, I think. Maybe it's Chol Hamoed. But I know the wedding is a different suit. That's the highest level, the wedding suit. So I think he always says that there are 5 different types of suits. Not sure that that would be a chiyuv that everyone would have to buy so many suits. But we should try and have something special that we wear for davening. That we wear for Shabbos. The Poskim discusses there are chiyuv to have different shoes. Some Poskim say it only means the stuff on the outside. It's not like you have to have special underwear or anything like that. Some people buy special tzitzis for Shabbos. It's probably an extension of people who have a special Shabbos talis. Whatever it may be, it's all just about trying to make Shabbos as special as possible to show how chashuv it is for us. And that's why we wear these special clothing. I saw an interesting discussion. I saw it in 2 places. About what we said that you have yisader shulchano, right? The table should be set. So what type of utensils have to be used? First of all, you know, you have some people started this thing, I'm not sure when, of having everything ready by chatzos. So that's a beautiful thing to do. It's much easier to do here than in America, but it's definitely a beautiful thing to do so that you're not going into Shabbos all crazy and rushed. But I saw an interesting discussion about what type of utensils should be used on Shabbos. So obviously, you should use your finest utensils on Shabbos. You want to use nice silverware, nice plates, etc. Does that mean that you shouldn't use plastic utensils? So I saw from Reb Nevensol, he brought down that using nice stuff is all about Kabbalah Shabbos. So he says that, how do you fulfill Kabbalah Shabbos? You don't fulfill Kabbalah Shabbos on Shabbos. He says you fulfill Kabbalah Shabbos before Shabbos and after Shabbos. The tircha that's involved in preparing for Shabbos is how you show kavod for Shabbos. And the tircha that's involved after Shabbos is how you show kavod for Shabbos. So he says, if you're going to cause more tircha on Shabbos itself, that's not kavod Shabbos. So if using real dishes is going to cause you to have to wash dishes on Shabbos, then he says, l'chatchila, you can use plastic utensils, which you're going to throw away, in order to avoid tircha on Shabbos. Oh, but what if you don't need to wash the dishes on Shabbos, and you're just going to be washing them after Shabbos? So he says, that is kavod Shabbos. So does that mean that you would have to use kelim chashuvim? So he says, Muvan hadavar, sha'ak sha'tircha motzai Shabbos, hakol lefi ha'inyin v'hakoshi. And it depends. How big of a deal is it going to be? How much time is it going to take you to wash all these dishes? And then this one I really like. Yachol adam lahachlit lechabedes ha'shabbos alidei ribur tircha shalom. You could decide for yourself that you want to honor the Shabbos by putting in a lot of, you know, sweat and tears and doing those dishes. But you can't say, I want to be mechaved the Shabbos by making my wife do the dishes after Shabbos. That's not called kavod Shabbos. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky has very similar. He says, so it should be like you're coming home and everything is ready, like a king is coming. This is only if it's not going to be too difficult for your wife to have to do the dishes. But if it's very hard to do the dishes, and he says, you know, we have big families, Baruch Hashem, so it's going to be a lot. So then you should use plastic utensils and don't burden your wife with this. You'll fulfill kavod Shabbos in other ways, having good food and a nice table. Shalom Bayis is going to win in this situation. So both Rav Nevinson and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky will point this out, that if you're willing to do it, so okay, maybe you can do it. Just to point out, though, it has to be that your wife isn't going to wash the dishes again after you wash the dishes because she doesn't think you did a good job, because then in the end you're just putting it on her anyway.
Did they send me this by Yantip also?
I never saw it before this, and I just saw this Rav Nemetzal a couple weeks ago. I was blown away by it because, you know, I know Rav Schechter has also said, you know, by Sukkot you should be using nicer dishes, and you should, you know, if it means hiring a non-Jew to do the dishes, so then hire a non-Jew to do the dishes. Nemetzal doesn't make that suggestion, maybe because every Shabbos to have it is going to be different. Yeah. So, you know, and by Pesach also, you should use your finest stuff. So, I don't know. But I found it interesting that both of them said this. I saw the Nemetzal a couple weeks ago already, and then I just saw this with Shmuel Kamenetsky last night. I got very excited about it because we use plastic stuff in our house, and it's maybe more benachas. Another thing that I don't have to worry about when I get to Shemayim. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Definitely the case. Definitely the case.
What is the tircha that they're referring to after Shabbos?
Of having to do the dishes after Shabbos.
But I'm saying the mitzvah of
kavod Shabbos. That's what Rav Nevinsol said. Yeah, that when you're
specifically the dishes.
I assume he didn't give any other suggestion, but I assume cleaning up from Shabbos. It could be setting up for that. It could be that's what he's referring to. I don't know. He said that the kavod Shabbos is from tircha before Shabbos and after Shabbos. It doesn't give other examples besides this, so I'm not sure. Maybe cleaning up from Shabbos, I'm not really sure. If you had nice things on Shabbos, and therefore it requires you to do more after Shabbos, so then I guess that's what it would be. In the couple minutes we have left, just to discuss another topic that comes up, is traveling on Erev Shabbos. So we know there are halachas about this, that you can't leave after a certain time on Erev Shabbos. The reason given isn't because we're afraid you're not going to make it in time, it's because we're afraid that if you didn't tell the people that you're coming, that you're coming, and then they're going to end up having to cook, you're going to show up right before Shabbos, and they're going to end up having to cook more for you, so they might be Mechal Shabbos by cooking more for you, so you have to leave with enough time in order to get there that they'll know, and that's where these shiurim appear to come from in the halacha. But this Sefer Nishma Shabbos points out that nowadays these halachas probably wouldn't apply for a couple reasons. First of all, you could bring your own food. You could stop at a store, you know, and bring your own food. So it's not as big of a deal. If you bring your own food with you, then you'd be allowed to travel whenever you want. That's why you'd be allowed to go to a hotel that they always have food available. It would be okay. And he also adds that nowadays, with the advanced technology that we have, such as electric ovens and microwaves. I don't really microwave so much, but you could cook very quickly nowadays. So it was back then where if you didn't get there before, you know, 4 hours before Shabbos, so then they wouldn't be able to make food for you in time. But nowadays you could come 2 hours before Shabbos, they'll dump some rice in a pot, you know, and then it's not, they'll have something for you. So it's not a big of a deal. So he says that these halachas don't necessarily apply as much anymore. Obviously, you know, in terms of making sure that you get wherever you're going, makes sense because we want to make sure that you get where you're going for Shabbos. But in terms of that specific halacha, it's not as big of a deal. One more halacha to mention, the halacha of eating on Erev Shabbos. So just to summarize those halachas, very quickly, the halachas of eating on Erev Shabbos. So you're supposed to head into Shabbos hungry. And therefore, you're not supposed to have a big meal, a suda gedola. That's why we don't have weddings on Erev Shabbos or anything like that. You shouldn't have that all day. But even a small suda, like having a sandwich or something like that, a suda shiragilim babashari mosa shavua, so then you should try and avoid that in the last quarter of the day. So if you look at the calendars that we have in all the shuls, now do we have that one here? We didn't get that yet. We have it here?
Yeah,
so when you have one of these calendars, right, on Erev Shabbos, it has, just like we saw Motzei Shabbos, it has the latest time for Lava Malka. So on Erev Shabbos, it says the latest time for a meal. Up here? Somewhere it says Zobzman. Yeah?
What is the latest time for Lava Malka?
Somewhere it has that we said when we learned about the halachas of Lava Malka, so it gives you, ideally, the time to have it would be 4 hours after Shabbos, you should have it before.
It's usually on here.
Yeah,
what is 4 hours after Shabbos?
We didn't, when we learned the halachas of Lava Malka, we didn't really come up with a source for it. It's brought down just from one sefer, brings it down, and everyone brings it from that sefer. And I asked all the rabbis that I saw that week, and no one really knew where it came from. And I pointed out that some halachas just have a certain skula that they become accepted somehow, and they made it onto the calendar. It was on the calendar. And it also tells you when the latest time that you should try to avoid.
Here it is.
Here we go.
Mitzvah Limanayam is Suda Be'er Shabbos.
Yeah, so this week it's 2:21. So you shouldn't have a Suda. You shouldn't have a Suda Haragila. If you normally have a sandwich for lunch, so you shouldn't have a sandwich after 2:21 this week. The Chazon Ish was Makbid. They bring down the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa. The Chazon Ish was Makbid. He wouldn't eat a Suda after Chatzos because he felt that he wouldn't be able to go in hungry. Even if he wasn't eating Lechem, he still wouldn't eat a Suda. So I think in a halacha like this, you really just have to, you know, there's a strict halacha of, you know, 2:21, but you really have to know yourself. Same way we find by, let's say, by how long you have to wait, how long you have in order to bench. So we say that as long as Shir Ikel hasn't passed, so it's okay. So we give a Shir of 72 minutes. I mean, for everyone, the Shir Ikel is 72 minutes. If you have a certain condition where you just don't get, you still feel full, or you ate a lot more, and therefore you still feel full. So then it would seem that when you're in that individual situation, you would be able to ask, oh, it's been an hour and a half, but I'm not hungry. So we won't say the Shir Ikel has passed already. We'll say, okay, for you, you're still able to bench if you want. So same thing with this. You just have to, you know, be self-aware. I know that if, okay, so I can't eat a Suda after 2:21. But if I eat, you know, a lot of cholent at 1 o'clock, or I eat a lot of carrots at 1 o'clock, I'm not going to be hungry for my Friday night Suda. So then you should try and avoid it, because the whole reason for the halacha is that you should enter into Shabbos hungry, so then it wouldn't make sense following the strict letter of the law and then losing the reason of the law entirely. So just to summarize, yeah.
So we're saying enter into the Suda hungry, not into Shabbos.
Correct,
right?
correct.
I mean, there's another hour.
Yeah, correct. So, yeah, but again, you know, and the same thing of just you being, yeah, you'd be allowed to, if you're hungry before Shabbos, you know, you'd be allowed to eat so that you could hold yourself over in order to get to the meal. So just to summarize, we saw that unclear how much of a chiyuv it is to prepare for Shabbos, but everyone does have a chiyuv, and how that balances out the language of Yishtadal, how that balances out with other chiyuvim such as learning or tefillah b'tzibur, and how it applies to every individual to do something. We saw the discussion of Tomei HaChaim Zachu, and whether that applies to everyone, and what it would override, discussion of going to the mikvah, what has to be set in the house with the beds and the tables and which beds, what utensils would need to be used, traveling on Erev Shabbos, and eating on Erev Shabbos as well.